It's time to get sexy. So watch Secular Sexuality Live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/YTSS and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callsex.
Hey, hey, hey! Hello, fellow heathens and skeptics. Welcome back to another episode of The Nonprofits, the show where we discuss news and topics of the day from a skeptical humanist perspective. My name is Kelly Laughlin, and today I am joined by all the way over on the far side, our resident skeptic student, the amazing August. Hi, August. How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. I'm glad to have you here. And right next to me, our very special guest, Phil, the Caribbean skeptic. Thank you so much for being here, Phil.
Thanks, Kelly. Thanks for having me. Hi, August. I hope y'all are doing well.
This show is a product of the Atheist Community of Austin, a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting atheism, critical thinking, secular humanism, and the separation of religion and government. And we have got a really good show for you today. We've got some really good stories. Segment one, we're going to talk about shit internet apologists say and have a prayer courses that Jesus isn't paying for. Then we're going to talk about students being duped into attending a religious event down in Louisiana. Then we're going to take a step in the right direction down in Cuba with the legalization of gay marriage. And no, I am not going to sing. And segment four, we're going to finish up with faith versus the James Webb Telescope. As with all of our shows, links to today's topics and the news we discuss are available in the description below. And a reminder, if you want to come into the show prepared, you can always go to the nonprofits Facebook fan page every Friday night for a list of the articles ahead of time. Boy, I got tongue-tied there, didn't I? So to start out the show, though, we are going to do Shit Internet Apologists Say.
Shit Internet Apologists Say.
All right. And August, you're going to lead us into this. What have you got for us?
Absolutely. All right. So our first segment today comes from MSN.com and the Atlanta Black Star. It was written September 21st. It goes over Pastor Juanita Bynum, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, and how she's charging $1,500 for a prayer course. So she's having 14 hours total in 7 2-hour sessions. In attending this, you get a tote bag, a binder, a prayer shawl, and anointing oil, sacred anointing oil. Pardon me. And apparently afterwards, you also get a certificate. So, wow. It was originally $2,000 for this course, but she so gracefully and generously put it down to only $1,500. So that's a steal, right? And only 150 people can attend. And it looks like it starts tomorrow, October 6th. So go ahead and get your tickets, everyone. That is sarcasm, by the way. So I want to know what you think about this, Phil.
Well, I think it's a big grift. Why do I think it's a big grift? Despite the discount, you know how much she's making within 24 hours?
Too much.
Yeah. A lot. Up in the 100, above 100,000 plus dollars. Imagine that. And it seems like highway robbery, you know, and you wouldn't believe there are people who will actually pay for this, people who are struggling. Mm-hmm. And you imagine this money can do well for persons who need help, financial help, especially, let's say, to get their child into college or so, you know, or someone who needs something to eat, you know, tourist charities, etc. But for poor, didn't Jesus teach through the Lord's Prayer how to pray?
You'd think they would read their own holy texts. You'd think.
Yeah, you know, so why should we be paying? Why should anyone be paying that amount of money just for prayer? And as we know from prayer studies, prayer is no different to coincidence.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to change much, really, does it?
Right. Nope, Kelly, not at all. Kelly, what's on your mind here?
I was kind of intrigued. I had never heard of this woman before, so I went and checked out her actual website. And I thought I was going to see something about her ministry or something like that. And there's nothing there. There is nothing at all about her ministry, her teachings, her beliefs, nothing. It is literally just a catalog of things that she sells besides this silly prayer event. And that, as far as I can tell, it doesn't even have a real name. It's only a description. Virtual, the Prayer Institute Registration. That's like seems to be the title of the event. And I was wondering, does that mean the registration is the thing they're going to teach you? I have no idea what's going on with this event. There's absolutely no description of what the class is or what you're going to be taught. There's the list of items that you mentioned, the prayer shawl and the anointing oil, but that's about it. And it seems like that's less than maybe $35 worth of stuff for your $1,500 fee. So
absolutely. So just to put some numbers behind this, I actually did a little bit of digging and I saw that according to celebritynetworth.com, therichest.com, and celebworth.net, this woman's net worth is $10 million. $10 million is her net worth, according to these three sites. And the fact that she's charging these regular people $1,500, that is so much money. That is so much money. And not only that, but I did some searching on Georgia statistics. And let's see, according to USICH.gov, the homelessness statistics are that in January 2020, Georgia had estimated 10,000 plus people experiencing homelessness on a given day. So while this woman is charging $1,500, which for some places, I'm not exactly sure the rent in Georgia, but for some places that could be at least a month's rent, if not more. She's charging these regular people when there are 10,000 plus people each day, supposedly in Georgia, experiencing homelessness. And one more thing I have to mention, just to show how much of a scam and just a ploy to get money this is, when I looked at her Instagram promotion for this event, I guess you could call it, she appears to have a Gucci belt on. And I actually looked it up, and from the Gucci website, of course, right? Because if your net worth is $10 million, what's a $500 belt to you? $500 belt. And yet she's charging like triple that for this prayer event where you get a tote bag and a certificate. Wow.
Nice. And she gets two more belts.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I say also, I realize that persons push back against her, some pastors and so on, but then she gaslight the persons opposing her charging that money, claiming that she is insulted. What? After charging so you're insulted? Rather, I think it's you are insulting people.
Exactly.
You know? And so, but why will she feel insulted? August, why will she feel insulted?
Maybe because she got caught.
Maybe. I also noticed, like, when I did go to the website, and this is just a few days now before this seminar begins, she has again dropped the price and discounted it down to $999.99. So now it's half price instead of just 25% off. So apparently, there are not enough people are falling for it. So
well, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I couldn't help think about when I was reading this whole story, though, was, and going back to what you were talking about, believing in their own teachings, was the story about Jesus and the money changers from the Bible. You know, wasn't Jesus pissed off because they were making money off of the religion? Is it
right?
And isn't that the same thing that's happening here? I mean, if Jesus was a real godlike being, I think he'd be pretty pissed. Juanita seems to have a long talk with herself and reconcile what she's doing with her beliefs, because she's not following what she's teaching, that's for sure. And unless, of course, she's doing this as a con. right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she thinks she's doing well and that this will possibly help people or change their lives. But come on, man. Really? 14 total hours of a quote unquote class and you get a couple of probably cheap items that, like you said, would probably be less than $50 US, and you're charging this much money for it. It just, it doesn't make any sense. You'd think you'd want to do this maybe out of like the goodness of your heart to spread the good word and the, you know, the joy of Jesus and his teachings. But no, someone with $10 million in net worth needs to charge $1,500, or, you know, the discount, I guess, is so nice. But it's, these are ordinary people that are going to be falling for this. And I feel really bad that these people are going to be vulnerable.
But August, she said she has been given her services free for 35 plus years. So now she seems to be entitled.
Right.
She made a lot of money for doing stuff for free.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. I don't know how she made $10 million in net worth off of doing stuff for free for 35 years. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
And wasn't she a gospel singer?
Was she? I don't know if I saw that part.
I think I read that she was.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Singing.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
And that is very lucrative.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know tons of musicians that make lots and lots and lots of. They make millions.
Sure.
Almost every musician I know.
Sure.
Oh yeah.
But still, then it's like you gave 35 years for free, but now you're going to charge ridiculous prices for something someone could literally probably Google and get the same information. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
One other thing I noticed too is that the persons pushing back, the pastors and the other Christians who push back against her charging so much, they talked about false prophets and there's a reason why people leave the church. But people don't necessarily just leave because of false prophets. There are no true prophets that have ever been shown to exist, right? And you know, it's people tend to leave because they realize the crap that goes on in Christianity as a whole, not just the false prophet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right, Kelly, what do you have for us next?
I do think about the false. I was thinking about the false prophet thing, and Phil, you make a really good point. I mean, how many of these prophets are real prophets? Any of them? I mean,
nope.
And I don't know that that's driving anybody away from the church. It doesn't seem like when I talk to people who have left the church, that is not a single one has said, "Well, I got tired of all the false prophets." And it goes to show you the disconnect between the leaders of the religion and the people who are leaving the church. They have no idea why, and they keep trying to figure out how to stop it, but they haven't been able to stop it because they don't know what's happening, right?
Yeah, and I think that what they do too is try to set up these straw men about why people leave the church, you know, and that's a real problem because they make a big assumption about these things rather than ask people. And then, of course, they will want to tell you, oh, you leave the church because of such and such, right? When that is not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Absolutely. Right. The you're mad at God.
Yeah, you're mad at God.
Bad Christian showed you the correct ways of Jesus, and now you were taught false things, and so that's why you don't believe. Like, come on, man. Why don't you just ask? Ask me why I don't believe.
Yeah. Rather than making assumptions.
And when you see these other ministers calling her a false prophet, you got to wonder if they're making as much money as her and they're just jealous, right? I mean, let's face it. It's all it could really be.
Yeah.
Seems kind of like projecting to me. Like, hey, you're stealing my tactics. What are you doing? Don't steal their money. I'm stealing their money.
And you're doing it better than me. So this is not right.
Okay, but the tote bag, though. Or are we more excited about the anointing oil? I don't know which one I'm more excited about. We'll have to see.
It is interesting, the anointing oil, because then I also did a check for the cost of these items generally. Anointed oil is around $4.50 to $5 US per quarter ounce. So a bag, roughly, say 25 binder, $4 a per shawl, $20. So that's a total between 54 to 60 US. As Kelly said, these things are very reasonable. So why will you charge so much unless you are grifting, the usual grift, the people? But you're worth what, 10 million?
Isn't she giving everybody a 2-hour question and answer session at the end of each lesson? So, I mean, that's be worth all that money, right?
Right. 14 hours of talking about prayer. That's gotta be worth $1,500 for sure. $2,000 at the start. It was $2,000.
Yeah, $1,000 now. Yeah. $1,000 now.
Yeah,
generous.
When I found out she had dropped it down to half price, I really started laughing. That really tickled me.
I mean, there's some college courses that cost, you know, depending on which college you go to and a community college, it could cost $1,500 for a college class. So it's like college credit or a prayer shawl.
Yeah, right.
Figure it out, guys. I don't know. Seems worth it to me.
No, the thing is that when you do the overall, as I said before, when you do the overall calculation for the amount of time for the 14 hours, that's the 14 sessions, 2 hours, that's 28 hours. That's roughly a day. And making over $100,000 in a day? No, that's a big riff. You know,
Not for what she's selling.
And selling for prayer, which some Christian person said that they can easily go and read it in the Bible, find out how to pray. So, you know, it's just crazy. Then she talks about dimensions and levels of prayer. What?
Yeah, what levels are there?
And that her method worked. She says her method worked.
Well, and I find it really telling as well that she's not giving details as to what kind of prayer course, what kind of information she's giving out. Just seems like that kind of information is very vague. And I get if you're like, hey, well, I want people to pay for it, so I'm not going to tell you. But I'm like, what is she going to say? I mean, that's a lot of time to be... Mm-hmm. saying prayer stuff, like how to pray. I'm not really like, it doesn't make sense to me how you could even make that many hours into a prayer course. Like that doesn't even make sense to me. Nope. I guess they'll find a way. If there's a will, there's a way, I guess.
Right. Well, I think we should move on to our second story today. But before we do, I want to thank our veteran and new viewers for getting us to over 11,000 subscribers. So if you're watching us now and you haven't subscribed yet, what are you waiting for? Get on that. Then once you've subscribed, like and ring that bell so you always know when a new nonprofits episode is about to premiere. But it's Sunday at 3 p.m. Central. You know that already, right? Then when you share the link to our channel, you need to share the link to our channel with everyone you know. Everyone. I mean everyone. Even your crazy uncle that won't shut up with his crazy conspiracy theories at Thanksgiving dinner. Let's get the word out there so you can start helping with these fundraisers. And are you aware, and this is true, you might not have known this, but the Atheist Community of Austin has another YouTube channel. Wow, right? You should be aware of that. So check out the Atheist Experience Network, a channel where you can find all the ACA shows in podcast form. Subscribe at tiny.cc/AEN podcasts to listen to episodes of the nonprofits, AXP, I think I've heard of that show before, Secular Sexuality, and all of the other great ACA shows that are produced by this wonderful organization. And that way you will not miss a single episode. And for our next segment, we're going to travel down to Louisiana, and August is going to lead us down there too. She's going to take our hand and bring us to Louisiana. So what do you got for us again, August?
Well, in this case, it's pretty unfortunate that we are going down to the South U.S., which I guess that's usually a common thing, actually. I don't know. It's kind of humid down there. So this article is about students that were duped into attending a religious event. And I am a student myself, no longer in high school, thank fuck. But As a student, this really riles me up. So this article was posted September 24th. It comes from Yahoo News, and it speaks on the East Baton Rouge Parish school system. I will say right off the bat that parish does not mean what we typically think of, like a Catholic parish. I did see some comments in different social media platforms that said, you know, parish, oh, isn't it a religious school? Like, why? What's the problem with that? No. This is a public school. This is a government-funded public school in the United States. So just want to make that clear. So the students were told that this was going to be an event that was similar to a college fair and a career fair to get them, these are high school students, getting set up to go to college or start their career. And instead, they were taken by bus over to Living Faith Christian Center to a place and an event called Day of Hope, which already I feel like has a lot of religious undertones, but I digress. When the students arrived, they were separated by gender. And when I say gender, I mean the right wing's form of gender, not as a spectrum. It was males go here, females go here, no nuance or no gray area. So they were separated by gender. The female presenting people were told about, of course, purity culture, including abstinence. They were also told very traumatic stories about rape and different traumas and even suicide. And these are young adults, these are teenage students being told these against their will. They thought this was a college fair. They thought this was a career fair. And yet they are being preached at to save yourself for marriage. While the male presenting people, they were made to do what the article called macho tasks, which I guess they were being forced to do push-ups and whatnot. So it's very, very like religious school-esque. And this is a public high school. This is multiple public high schools. This is, I think the parish, aka the county, has like 18 different schools. So all these schools came together at this Christian center to get preached at, traumatized. The non-conforming gender identity having people were made uncomfortable and discriminated against. And it's just all around horrific. So I want to go ahead and pass it off here. Let's go to Kelly.
You know what? We cover a lot of stories here on nonprofits, and very rarely does one really piss me off. And this is one of them. I don't see where a public school can come off sending its students to this event without understanding what is happening here. Can anyone just come in and say they're having a career fair as long as they have a venue? What if it's like the International Cannibals Club and they're holding a culinary fair and they're inviting the students over for dinner? Is the school going to check that out? Exactly what are they going to, are they going to put the students in the danger by checking the background of the group, or what are they, you know, I'm amazed that this thing ever got off the ground. Or was it that the school knew exactly what was going on here and they thought that they needed a faith-based career fair, you know? And the as you mentioned, the name, A Day of Hope, it does have religious overtones, but I mean, you can have hope for your future without having religion. So it's kind of ambiguous. It's really, it's a real con. And they pulled the wool over a bunch of young kids' eyes. And it's, if you're going to, I mean, it's bad enough to con people like our friend that we just talked about, Juanita, but this is worse. I mean, this is pulling the wool over the eyes of kids who really don't have any choice but to be there. They were stuck. Phil, what do you think? What would you like to say about this?
What I will say is that this is what some Christians do to proselytize, right? They pretend to be offering one thing that seems okay, but really and truly is outright preaching at proselytizing. I see this also as major deception in order to force Christian dogma on public school students without their parents' consent. That is what is happening here. And also, why will a public school be sending the students to a church for a college fair? You know, that raises red flag. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is too that the superintendent, the school system superintendent, endorsed this collaboration with that Christian organization, right? And the thing about that Christian organization, their website says, we believe by being inspirational, intentional, and intimate, we are able to redirect our students to Jesus Christ. So their mission is to proselytize, to get students to come to their way of belief. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. You know, one of the things that really bothered me about this too was it seemed like they were, like you mentioned, what they did to the girls in the group, August, we're talking about suicide and rape, but they peeled the boys off into another group and basically taught them toxic masculinity. They had push-up contests for money prizes, and it really, really bothered me that we had this bigoted hierarchy that was pushing this misogynistic ideas of boys being better than the girls and the girls having to put up with these bad behavior of the boys. And I think in a lot of ways that really bothered me the most about this. It, even though it was bad that they duped these kids and had them basically prisoners at this event, but the fact that they would teach this really toxic culture and keep this thing going that we're trying to make ourselves a better society and get rid of. It's just like they're doing the exact opposite of moving our society forward. And that really bothers me a lot. Do you have anything else to add to it, August?
Oh, do I? So I'm about to get on my soapbox here for a minute.
Okay.
And get pretty personal. So when I started questioning my faith, I was also in high school. For those who don't know, I did grow up in a Christian household. It was more or less non-denominational, slightly Methodist. But at 15, during my confirmation, I started questioning. And if this would have happened to me, I would have been completely and utterly fucking traumatized. And the fact that you're doing this to children, you're not only hurting their gender identity by pushing these very heteronormative and cisgender normative things about separating people into male and female. If they present that way, there were several people in this article that were saying that they were scared to go to the gender that they actually are because they were afraid of being discriminated against because maybe they didn't conform as much to the societal norms of how that gender is supposed to present themselves. So you're being discriminated against. You are being told stories of sexual assault and suicide. And again, as someone who is questioning their faith and went through ups and downs with their mental health and had problems with that kind of thinking, this would have been utterly and completely fucking traumatizing. Mm-hmm. And I am absolutely fucking disgusted. I am disgusted that they would do this. They thought they were going to learn about colleges. They thought they were learning about maybe trade schools, where they're going to take their career. My generation is starting to lose hope that we have any kind of fucking future and that you are sitting there. Not only, they didn't even just sit them down and say, hey, here's the love and joy of the truth of Jesus Christ or any kind of bullshit like that. They straight up traumatized and told these children to forgive their one woman who was a speaker said she forgave her ex-boyfriend for his attempted murder on her. Like, are you fucking serious? You're telling this to 17-year-olds, 16, 17, 18-year-olds.
She kind of victimized herself by saying that she because she had met the guy online and didn't tell anybody, it was basically her fault. I mean,
victim blaming.
Yeah,
victim
I'm sorry,
blaming.
August, for breaking in, but that really
no,
pissed
no, you're
me
fine.
Off.
You gotta calm me down because I'm about to lose it. It's so
keep going. I don't want to calm you down. Keep going.
And this was really recent, and unfortunately, I've heard this kind of this trope of an angry atheist, and unfortunately, sometimes I accidentally and unfortunately become the angry atheist. But I feel like this is a case where that's justified. This is traumatizing to its core. These kids will probably, I mean, Pascal's wager of the whole, you know, well, what if you're going to hell? I had nightmares about hell. And you know, at that point, I hadn't been a victim of sexual assault yet, but then further into my life, I was. And there is, oh my God, I can't. Someone take it away. I can't.
Okay. And you know what else really makes my blood boil along with
please tell me. August, please join.
Kalisa, they said, told the girls, forgive the rapists and those who assault you. What the fuck? Madness.
I have no fucking words. I have no words for that. As a sexual assault survivor myself, how fucking dare you? How fucking dare you? That might be true for you, and that's fine, but you don't get to tell people, especially those who at that young age, you are vulnerable, you are susceptible to these ideas. Imagine if these women, well, actually, no, these fucking girls take this to heart. And they say, well, my boyfriend was pressuring me into sex. Maybe I should forgive him. Fuck no. Fuck no.
Nope. No. You know, and it's very traumatizing upset. And they can see it really traumatizing upset to those young girls. You know, and I cause serious mental trauma. Serious mental trauma. And then they will, as you said, victim blame. Because they try to make it look as if it's the girl's fault.
It's never the victim's fault.
Never the victim's fault. And they will say, because when you look at the article, you also see that they are trying to make the females feel as if the responsibility of preventing the males from having sinful, lustful thoughts and sex with them.
Perpetuating rape culture. This is the definition of perpetuating rape culture. I'm so sorry, Phil. I'm so sorry for cutting you off.
No, that's okay. That's okay, August. I feel your anger.
Need to take a deep breath. Calm my blood pressure down here.
Yes. It's really sick. And then having the guys, as you said, go out, do the macho, whatever macho means. I don't know. I wonder what that is, right? The macho stuff. And it is just crazy because this is purity culture 101. That's what they're throwing at these purity culture 101. What do you think, Kel?
You know, the misogynistic thing, I understand it's in the Bible. It's part of Christianity, right? But there's other parts of Christianity that are in the Bible too that they don't care about, right? Nope. Like charging usury, forgiving debts every 7 years at Jubilee. What happened to that kind of stuff, right? Why don't we follow any of those anymore? So why can't we throw out this misogynistic attitudes that the Christian church kind of holds on to? Like I said, there's a really bigoted hierarchy that's upholding these very bigoted ideas. And if the Christian church is going to survive into the future, they're going to have to change their stance on this. It's just not in line with the way our society is moving. Just like they had to give up on the slavery issue, they're going to have to give up on this. Apparently, you can pick and choose the parts of the Bible you want to believe in. So why not toss out all the bad stuff, right? Right? One part the church didn't toss out was you shouldn't lie to people. Apparently, that hasn't stopped a lot of Christians, though.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So apparently it didn't stop these Christians, right?
No. I have seen this happen before. There are some Christian denominations that actually pretend to do. I know they try to pull people from other denominations and they do the same thing. They pretend, this is such and such. But when you get there, it is something completely different, you know, and it's very dishonest. It is dishonest. And I sometimes wonder what those Christians are really thinking, you know, but then they will accuse us atheists of being despicable and dishonest. Yeah, August. I guess you've heard that before, right?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I feel like people always harp on atheists and say, especially American atheists, and say, you guys only talk about Christianity. Well, it's the biggest thing. It's the most prevalent religion in our country. But I do want to mention that all of the Abrahamic religions push this. That includes Islam and Judaism as well. And there are several other religions that most likely push this as well. So this is also like more of a blanket kind of thing here that many, many religions push. So we're not just harping on Christianity here. Mm-hmm. And I also think it's important to notice that there are good Christians. There are people who actually try to follow the teachings of Jesus and say that this isn't right. And while I, you know, disagree with the baseline of that, I do appreciate the people who are people of faith and can call this out, but you guys need to do that more. If any of you are listening to this, you guys need to call this out as well. I do want to say before we switch off, just in case I forget, don't want to forget. So because of this, there has been a website created. It is called Day of Nope, and it's Day of Hope, except hope is turned to nope, which I love that. So it's dayofhope.com. And if you go there, they allow you to give your stories if you were a victim of this and kind of catch up with the news about it. So go ahead and hop on over there and hopefully something's done about this, because I will be livid if this just gets swept under the rug like everything else that comes out like this. It just seems like scandal after scandal. And all it is just, well, we'll just wait it out and no one will remember. And unfortunately, that ends up happening. So hopefully because of this website and the news coverage about it, hopefully something will be done. I cross my fingers.
From what I understand, there was a young trans student there who was bullied, and their parent is now starting a lawsuit against
the
school
district. Absolutely, yes, as they should. Good for that parent. That is a good parent.
Yes. The article said that they mentioned that they were trying to raise money for the lawsuit and that they had raised $75, but I wouldn't check, and they were well over $10,000 today. So they've gotten a lot of support, and that's a good thing to see that the public is supporting them to push back at what was done at the school district.
That is really good. You need pushback. Definitely, there must be pushback. And yes. Persons can't, sitting on the sidelines is not helping, because Christians and religious people feel their privilege, right? And the privilege have gone on very long because persons just sat back.
But pretty much all of recorded history, yeah.
Yeah. And I know the United States, even here in the Caribbean, the Lord Caribbean, they say they are pluralistic, but yet they claim to be Christian. I don't know how that works. But, you know, a lot of privilege is offered or given to the religious a lot of the time, you know. And it is sad, because if you're living in a society where there are many people of different religions, of no religion, you have people who have different beliefs, you have to have something that caters to everyone and not just pushing one particular religion, you know. So definitely people have to push and say, no, this is not good enough. Definitely. Right. Yeah. August, any final words?
Just to go back to statistics a little bit, it looks like, according to publicschoolreview.com, their graduation rate as of the 2018-2019 school year, so therefore not affected by COVID or the pandemic, which I could understand would drop graduation rates, they are at 69% graduation rate when the average for Louisiana is 84%. So in my head, I'm like, maybe instead of pushing your religious bigotry on students that are young and impressionable, how about you focus on educating them and getting them to graduate high school and actually give them resources for college and careers like you fucking said you would? How about that? How about that? So anyway.
All right. Thank you, August. I appreciate that. And that's a pretty heavy subject, and I fully agree with it. And I love the way you got fired up about that. That just warmed my heart. But right now, I want to take a break in our conversation, because if you didn't tune into the other ACA shows last week, you probably missed a whole lot of really cool stuff. And here is some of that really cool stuff that you missed.
Had one particular horror story where the couple had bought the doll and bonded to her, you know, oh, we love her, you know, Kara. Or, you know, not Kara, I'll use another name.
Okay. If we had an election tomorrow, the current government would be pretty much obliterated. So we are kind of shifting back to the middle.
Well, we're a world-class exporter of crazy, you know, like we're very good at that. I'm not surprised.
Does the arrival of the heifers in Israel set in motion the coming of the Messiah, or the return of Jesus as Christians believe?
Do you mind if I try to answer that, Scott? I think I might be able to. Let me just check my notes here real quick. No, you, a professing Christian with a repentant heart, Thomas, still sin And since all sins are the same in the eyes of God, kind of sounds like all of that is what you would affectionately call bull.
I don't know how you got this so wrong, but you are now on mute.
You're just saying
and you're, and you know who's not saying to me anymore? You.
You know, it's been a long 2 years or so since we've all been able to congregate together. But based on updates from the CDC and other scientific organizations, we're going to be able to slowly ease back into doing live shows from the Freethought Library. The next in-studio Sunday broadcast will actually be on October 30th, 2022. That's right, the day before Halloween. Both Talk Heathen and Atheist Experience will be broadcast at their normal times, 1 p.m. and 4:30 p.m. respectively. But now you can be part of the studio audience. So start working now to get your costumes together and get to planning a trip over to Austin, Texas to meet your fellow atheist, skeptic, show host, and the incredible crew that make all of this magic happen. The doors to the library will open at 12 noon to the public. Parking is where you can find it, so get there early so you can find it, and we hope to see you there. If you can't make it in October, we will continue to broadcast from the library the last Sunday of every month. So keep watching this show and our website, atheist-community.org, for news and information as we expand our in-studio offerings in the near future. And we are now going to take a step in the right direction and head down to Cuba, where Cubans approved gay marriage by a rather large margin in a recent referendum. There was a vote held, even with the hurricane that just came through and caused such damage in the country. And same-sex marriage was passed by 66%, which is pretty overwhelming for most votes, but not quite what you would expect from Cuba. So it's kind of an interesting story, and one I think we should keep an eye on, because there is kind of some weird things that are happening there with it. I think I'll get into that in a second, but I'm going to throw it over to Phil, if I can, and see what he thinks about this story. Because that this is almost regional for you, is it not?
Yes, it is. And I was really happy to hear that Cuba was having a referendum on this, and that the people spoke and indicated, yes, go ahead with the same-sex marriage legislation, same-sex couples adopting children, legalizing civil unions, allowing equal domestic rights, responsibilities between men and women. This is in the right direction. And as Kelly said, the majority of the Cubans, and a good fairly sizable majority, 67% said yes, right? And maybe Cuba is realizing that it is too costly for their gross domestic product not to do this, unlike other Caribbean countries not realizing that, right? And another interesting thing is that when I looked at the statistics of religious affiliation in Cuba, surprisingly, it says 61.7% are Christian. 21.1% are agnostic atheists. So for a country where the majority are Christian and the majority of the population voted yes to these things, that says a lot. You'll find in other, in Caribbean, English-speaking Caribbean countries who are very highly religious, they still have laws against LGBTQ. There's no laws allowing for same-sex couples to marry, adopt children, right? So this is really good to see. And then I remember looking also and looking at this, finding an article talking about some research that was done that shows that those countries that still have these bigoted laws in place, they are actually losing billions of dollars to their GDP, because the LGBTQ plus persons want to be in a country that is friendly to them, where they can work freely without discrimination, because there's a lot of discrimination in a lot of these Caribbean, religious Caribbean countries towards LGBTQ. And I remember speaking with one who went for a job, a trans woman who went for a job. Everything was going fine. until she said, I am trans. It went downhill, the interview went downhill from there. So there is a problem in the other Caribbean countries, and they need to follow Cuba's example. As I said before, if you claim to be a pluralistic society, you have to cater for everyone and not let Christian dogma or religious dogma run things. Because everyone does, then that happens, all everyone else suffers. On to you, Kelly.
Well, Phil, one of the things I was happy to see about this, and you mentioned that discrimination that you in the story you just told us. Mm-hmm. One of the things I was really happy to see in this voter referendum is it did make it illegal to discriminate against LGBTQ individuals, as well as giving them the right to marry, of same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't help to give people rights if you're not going to protect those rights, mm-hmm. right? And this referendum did that. And it also made it legal for a same-sex couple to adopt a child, which was pretty progressive too, I thought. Yeah. You mentioned that other Caribbean nations really need to follow Cuba's lead on this. Cuba has mm-hmm. been on the tail end of legalizing same-sex marriage actually throughout Latin America. However, among Caribbean nations, it's in the forefront of legalizing. Most Caribbean nations, it is still illegal for same-sex marriage today. And in 2017, Human Rights Watch published a PDF entitled I Had to Leave to Be Me, which was a study of LGBTQ discriminations and laws in Caribbean countries, with suggestions for the governments of actually several nations to help alleviate the plight of the community in those countries. And not a lot has been done with that yet, but it's my hope that most of them have at least read this study and are seriously considering the recommendations that were made. But at present, I just don't see anything happening quickly on this front. August, you have any thoughts about this?
I mean, yeah, I think I would just kind of go off of what you guys said, but also add that the history that I could see had gay men being put into labor camps. And I just think that's completely abhorrent. And I do want to say that I think it's interesting that not only was gay marriage legalized, but it appears to be in the same boat they're giving the right for people of same-sex relationships to also adopt, which I think is kind of interesting that they are putting such progressive laws in place at the same time, you know, because I feel like so many times it's like, okay, you guys can get married, but we're not going to let you adopt kids. That's just too far. So the fact that they did both of those in the same vote is kind of, I think, pretty progressive and pretty interesting. And I almost wonder how long the public opinion in Cuba has been this way, seeing as how the vast majority, I mean, like you guys said, the 67 about percent voting yes, I think that kind of shows that this might have been the public opinion for a while, and maybe they just didn't have a vote on this until now. But I also saw that they are, Cuba that is one of the first Latin American countries to celebrate Pride Month. So I think this is a lot of progressive laws and, you know, public opinion surfacing that, you know, it makes me wonder how long people have thought this. And even it appears that even the Cuban president, it supports this as well, and said, I believe the quote was, you know, justice has been done. So I think that's incredibly interesting that, you know, even the president supports it. So yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's interesting. And of course, as a member of the LGBTQIA plus community myself, although I'm American, I'm not Cuban, but it's always a good thing to see these kind of things come into, you know, what most of us, I hope, kind of already think is, I've never understood why anyone has a problem with it. I guess I'm showing my age in that, where I wasn't really around when the opinion was different, but yeah. Kelly, do you have any kind of opinion on that?
Well, I have some second thoughts about the 66% large majority, and I have some interesting views of that. The minority vote of 33% was actually huge for a dissenting vote against the government referendum in Cuba. This referendum was supported by the president. It was supported by the government. They asked the people to vote for it, right? And usually when that happens in Cuba for the past decades, it's almost 98% overwhelmingly in favor of the referendum. So this 33% dissenting vote is huge. And it shows you that people are less afraid to stand up to the government from the, because the old guard, the old Castro guard is gone. And you have a younger group of people who are coming of age who never grew up under that yoke, right? And they're more willing to dissent against the government. But one of the things I worry about is that's who was voting in this 33%, right? And I'm hoping that it was a lot, was half of those 66% of Christians that Phil mentioned, and it wasn't the younger group that are willing to be dissentive against the government, but maybe some old school Christians who are finding a little bit of new freedom and being and using that freedom to dissent the against the government. So let's keep our fingers crossed that this isn't something happening among the younger votings in the voters in Castro or voters in Cuba.
Well, and also the article says that they think that the dissenting views were spread more widely because of access to the internet in Cuba. So I also wonder how that comes into effect. I guess as a young person myself, and, you know, there's a different culture in the United States and whatnot, but I really hope it's not my generation that's saying that this shouldn't happen, especially because we're the ones that are going to be coming up and we're in the age that we're starting to get married and starting to want families. And so that would be interesting to see exactly what the demographics of the different votes were.
Yeah, definitely. And Kelly said something about his gay pride.
Yeah, it was the first Latin American country to celebrate.
Oh, right, first Latin American. The thing, now looking at the other Caribbean countries, the English, like here in Barbados, back in 2018, there was a gay pride march, and in opposition to the gay pride march, you had a number of church leaders getting together, and they said this agenda is a new form of neocolonialism because it hasn't emerged from Barbados. It is a global agenda to influence different nations. In fact, they say that agencies are attaching aid and economic support and technical assistance to the LGBTQ agenda. But what I asked, but what agenda? And then you can have someone who's a sociologist who's supposed to have done research, but this person is a Christian, and she said some people understand it is just one small group that's attempting to change God's word. They cannot ever, you know. So Ben, you're talking about countries, these countries, Caribbean countries, need to change. Yes, they need to change. But then you have the evangelical, a lot of evangelical leaders, especially in countries where the English-speaking Caribbean, where evangelical churches or fundamentalist churches make up a large percentage of the population, right? You get pushed back. They don't want these things changed because they want to impose their dogma on everyone else. And the sad thing is that the governments pander to these groups. That's the sad thing. You know, so yes, they need to change. That is why I keep saying that there are people here who see this as wrong, but we need to speak out to let people know, look, y'all are not the only ones here. We are also here, people who don't agree with you, right? And you can't just be pushing your dogma on everyone else because it doesn't benefit society, and it is marginalizing, it is discriminatory, it is bigoted, it is just sickening, right?
I find that so illogical to say that that being inclusive of other people is equated to colonialism. That doesn't make any sense at all to me.
Right.
That's just such an illogical argument to make. It just blows me away.
It is. And especially when you have someone who's supposed to be a doctor of sociology.
Yeah.
You know, it's showing you that they are discarding their training in sociological research to push the Christian agenda, to push the religious agenda.
It just seems to me that colonialism was based on not being inclusive of people. So I'm just blown away by that argument. It just doesn't make any sense at all to me. I'm drawing a complete blank in my mind on that one. It's just, I could think of maybe 100 different other arguments they could have used that were better than that one. So yeah, one of the things we all read the story, and there were several photographs that accompanied the story. Did anybody else get creeped out by the kids in the red uniform standing on the other side of the poles?
Yes.
It kind of creeped
me out.
Oh,
absolutely. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, that freaked me out. It was like, what's going on here?
Yeah, for our viewers, please go look at the link. There are some great photographs, and the children almost look robotic in a couple of the photographs too. It's really, really kind of creepy. So
yeah, and the caption under the photo says that the gentleman that's standing between the children is voting. So it's kind of odd.
I think it was like a ballot box, and he was dropping his ballot into the box, and they were standing on either side of the ballot box. But it was still really weird, you know. It's just, and I wondered why it had to be children. That was one of the things. Why didn't they have adults who were like we have election officials here in the United States, right? Or poll watchers, right. And they're using children as poll watchers basically. And I found that a little weird.
Right.
And the way they were standing there so robotically with those uniforms on, that's what I found creepy. I think. Phil, you were going to say something?
Yeah. I also saw in the article that they said even though they did not have foreign observers, that a lot of the adults did watch the polls, observe the polls, and the reports that they got locally from those adults matched the results, basically, right? So even though the children were there standing next to the ballot box, I don't suspect there were observers, but apparently there were local persons who were observing.
Yeah, from what I understood, anybody could have access to the ballots to make sure that they were done correctly. It seemed like from the way the article was written, and I found that interesting too, because that's not allowed here in the States, especially with the electronic machines. Not everybody has access to that information, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Theirs looks like an actual box where you put the piece of paper in. Yeah. So,
yeah, right.
And one of the other pictures has the kids like helping a more elderly woman, it appears, put her vote in, which again, as Kelly described, it would be odd to us in the United States to have that happen. Usually that's frowned upon.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised that Cuba's GDP over doing this over years will improve, because now they have widened their base of resource base. So now persons, as I quote said before, there's some research showing that those countries who have the bigoted laws, they are suffering, not only in the Caribbean, but the research also shows in other European countries, some European countries who still have bigoted laws, that they are losing out a lot of money because of those laws. So I won't be surprised if Cuba's GDP improves because they have put these progressive laws in place.
Right, right. And as Cuba's trying to open themselves up too and attract tourism, and this is going to help that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it really changes the country. So, I mean, it's something for us to keep an eye on.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the things that, as I watched this show for a long time before I became a person on the show, which was one of my dreams. But before I was on the show, and when I was first watching it, I became a member of this channel. And you can do it for as little as 99 cents a month. I mean, what the fuck? It's only a buck. Click the join button below the video. This will give you access to special chat emojis. And your name will go from that boring black color to a really cool color of me green. Also, did you know we have a merch store? It's true. It's really true. There's all kinds of cool stuff there. It's at tiny.cc/merchaca. And you can get your favorite items like t-shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs. You can check all. You can also check out all of our other items like beanies, phone cases, and tote bags. And all the ACA shows, including this one, feature a special limited edition item every month. So be sure to check out our store for more great NP merchandise and merch from all the other great ACA shows. I'm a little tongue-tied. I'll be honest with everyone. I'm really nervous. But we're going to go into... Thank you so much.
Yeah, doing really well.
We're going to go into our last segment and talk about Faith versus the James Webb Telescope.
Absolutely.
And Phil, you're going to take us out of this world. So what do you got?
Yeah.
See what you did there.
Oh, yeah. Faith, wonders of a telescope and our search for meaning connect us. This story was written in the Austin, an article in the Austin American Statesman on September the 20th, 2022. The person writing the article, I wasn't too sure whether they were Muslim or Hindu or Baha'i, because they covered a lot of different perspectives, religious perspectives. But what the person was saying, which I can agree with, it is awe-inspiring, right? The pictures from the James Webb Telescope that came out in July this year, they were really awe-inspiring, because to see, you know, what we have not seen before, the nebulas, the stars, those planets in even greater clarity, right? Before, in the same region of space, you had, they will have used the Hubble telescope, but the resolution was not that great. But now with the James Webb telescope, the resolution, it is really breathtaking. However, the problem here with this article is that the person tries to associate that awe-inspiring with faith and make certain claims about that we have connection to the universe, the stardust. When we go back to stardust, or the particles in our body are vibrating, connecting with a lot of woo stuff. And also, he makes this claim that, which we as atheists will have heard before, that atheism is a faith. What do you say about that, August?
Well, I am a biology major in my senior year of college right now. But if I were to pick something else, and if physics weren't involved, because I have quite a quarrel, quite a bone to pick with physics for some reason, I'm so fascinated by astronomy. And that was true both when I was a Christian, religious, and when I was not. And this specifically, these images, you know, they remind me of the pale blue dot, which I'm sure many people know about. It was the Voyager picture of, you know, it's very uninteresting at first glance. And then when you know the story behind it and you see that this pale blue dot and this tiny little beam of light is our home, it really puts things in perspective. And it's so fascinating to me how people can see things like this, like the deep space images, especially these ones with such better resolution and just, I mean, awe-inspiring, as you said. I just think it's fascinating how someone can look at that and say, wow, there must be a deity. And it's so fascinating because I look at it and I say, how could some deity have made all of this but care about who I'm sleeping with on Earth? Like, I don't understand. It just, whenever I look at these images, I see a wonder and a curiosity of what's out there, and people saying, oh, wow, God did it. And, you know, I even went on, of course, Twitter, and I was, you know, just kind of looking at things people were saying about it. And there were so many people of faith that were going, wow, look at what God made. It's like, I don't know. I see it the complete opposite. I feel like this is, why would some deity give a shit about us? Like, look at this entire universe, look at the galaxies and the nebulas. And I just don't understand. And this is, you know, another part of the thing that helped me release myself from religion eventually, once I started questioning, was that God did it just was not an acceptable answer for me. And as a scientifically minded and as much as I can be a skeptic, just God did it is no longer an acceptable answer to me. And it just doesn't make sense. Whereas other people look and say, wow, look. And so I don't know, it keeps things in perspective for me. And, you know, I think the fact that religious people are kind of stealing this joyous, wonderful thing and making it about, oh, wow, look at the wonders of the universe. It must be God. And I'm sitting there like, no, I don't see any evidence for that. That just it doesn't even make sense to me, which I guess could be classified as an argument from incredulity, but really feel like it's not. It's more of, you haven't met your burden of proof. Therefore, mm-hmm. I'm going to say that, you know, the best scientific evidence is the Big Bang that created all of this. And now, wow, we get to see that now. And it's mm-hmm. absolutely fantastic. But Kelly, I really want to hear what you say about this.
Oh, I don't know why. I did find this article a little funny in one respect, because I recently covered this same topic, but from a Christian point of view instead of a Muslim's. And you'll never believe this. Mm. It was almost exactly the same. And it sort of pointed out to mm-hmm. me that people will see what they want to see in something, mm-hmm. even if it doesn't appear to be there. And mm-hmm. I'm always surprised that people have to find something else besides the incredible, incredible wondrousness of the universe that's just right there, right? And that to me accounts for all the awe that wondrousness evokes. I can't say that word today. And it blows me away that there's so many theists that have to equate these photos to their beliefs, mm-hmm. you know? As you said, so many of them saying that they seen their God in the photos, or this is, look what my God did. Marco Rubio, the U.S. Senator from Florida, even tweeted out the same sentiment. And I've been really interested in these photographs, just like you, August. I've been really interested in astronomy. I always wanted to see the moon, like from a really good telescope. And I got to do that for the first time 15 years ago. And that was so incredible to me now. And then here 15 years later to see these photos off the web, and I'm just blown away by it. Right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you haven't looked at these photos, I don't know what you're waiting for. They're all over the internet. Go out there and look mm-hmm. at them. They're wonderful. They're definitely worth your time to check out. However, I have not seen the face or any other part of God in those photos. I have not even seen a part of his ankle. I haven't seen Zeus. I haven't seen Odin, Vishnu, or any other deity in there. So I tend to think that we're not going to see any gods with the Webb telescope. Although, I mean, we haven't looked at every part of the universe yet. So who knows? Maybe Ahura Mazda is waiting out there for us to find him. I don't know. But Bill, you have something else you'd like to say?
Yeah, the guy, the thing is that behind that beauty, there is chaos. From our perspective, it looks beautiful from here, but up close, you will see that there's some chaos going on. But it is kind of like beautiful chaos, if there's such a thing. And then remember, the title has Search for Meaning. We make our own meaning. And it's not the search for meaning that pushes scientists to explore the vast universe. I teach science, and I know as a scientist, that's not the case. It is the love for trying to understand what makes and how things work in the universe, how things in the universe tick, right? It's like using a statement from Star Trek, going where no man has gone before. That's what the James Webb Telescope has done. You know, and it's that joy of discovery and having more and more questions to find the answers for through the use of the scientific method, not faith, right? Mm-hmm. And one last thing, what I noticed, as I said, the guy has done, he wants to say atheism is a faith, and that all of we are all in this also, we have this faith. We don't have faith as atheists. Atheism just deals with one thing, and that is we don't accept the God claim. So, go ahead, August. Yeah.
I was going to mention that too. If you read the whole article, at some point he does try to claim that atheists have faith too, or that age old comment they like to say of, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I'm like, you keep saying those words. I don't think you know what they mean. Hopefully you guys get the reference. Such a good movie. But anyway, it's not a faith. I think they're trying to project what they're, it's basically like a whataboutism, except they're nowhere near on the mark. And I just, every time someone says something like that, I'm like, oh no, you really don't know what you're talking about, huh? But one thing I do want to mention is that this is actually a more, for me, was disappointing. A NASA administrator named Bill Nelson. I came across a video of him actually saying Bible verses. And this happened last year when the telescope was actually launched, I believe, and it ended up being a success. I think it was like late December of 2021. Someone please correct me if I mess the date up there. But he was quoting Bible verses, and it just, like, you're the NASA administrator. And of course, as they tend to do, the very famous site Answers in Genesis is now quoting this NASA administrator who quoted the Bible and saying, wow, look, here's, even the NASA administrator says it must have been a God. And I'm like, can we not do that? Like, oh my goodness. Oh, please. I was so disappointed when I was going through Twitter and I saw that video and I just saw the title was NASA administrator, you know, quotes Bible verses during the initial announcement that it was a success. And oh no, it's just so bad. And now they're using it as another, haha, gotcha. See, look, even NASA. Oh my goodness.
It's a false appeal to authority. That's what it is. It is. To an authority rather than looking at the actual evidence, right? That's the problem.
And the quote was so out of context. When I was listening to it, I was like, what does this have to do with deep space or a telescope? Yeah. Or it was something about the shepherd. And I was like, is this relevant? Like, there was literally, not only was it just like, don't say that kind of stuff, especially when we know that these Answer in Genesis-esque people will latch on to that and say, see, mm-hmm. look. We gotcha. And it's, mm-hmm. you know, but it wasn't even relevant. So I was like, why? I just didn't get it. What do you guys think about that?
I know some scientists that are very deeply entrenched in their religious faith. So, I mean, I don't know that Bill Nelson isn't one of those scientists. I have published several geology papers, and one of my co-authors, we've done like three papers together, and he is very set in his Christianity. We get along amazingly awesome. He's a wonderful man, but you would think that somebody with that much education in the sciences would have given up on that faith by now, but he hasn't. And there are those people out there, and I don't want to take that away from them if that's what they want to believe, but it doesn't surprise me that there is somebody like Bill Nelson working at NASA. Mm-hmm. So
I just wish they would keep that to themselves, though, especially when people are going to latch onto it. Because he's still, yeah, and it's like, you know, I'm not entirely sure about the exact beliefs of Answers in Genesis, but a lot of these creationists are young Earth creationists. And so I guess at least you're not a young Earth creationist. I did see in the article, the original article, the author put mm-hmm. that it was, you know, into deep space, some 13 billion light years away. And I'm like, mm-hmm. well, 13 billion light years away mm-hmm. implies that that's around the years. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, at least you're not a young Earth / young mm-hmm. universe creationist. But I guess if you're a creationist, you believe all of this came about in 7 days. So who knows?
Some creationists don't. If it's a Christian evolutionist, mm-hmm. like let's
that
say,
used to be me.
right? A Christian, used to be me too at one point. Christian evolutionists, they will say, yes, the world is that old and so on, right? But yet God created, used the mechanism of evolution or, you know, used these mechanisms to create. But it's a more... they're accepting part of the science, but yet still attaching a God to it, even though it cannot be shown or demonstrated that there is any such or has been done by any God, right? As Kelly said, they still hold on to their faith, you know, hold on to that faith, belief of the God.
Yeah, and I hate to say that, like, at least it's better, but, you know, as you said, and Kelly, I'm not sure what your views were, what your religious background is, but if people like Phil and I can have these kind of beliefs of like, well, we believe in all the, you know, evolution by means of natural selection, and we believe that the earth is, you know, over 4 billion years old, et cetera, but that God did it. And it's like, okay, well, that's all right, but hopefully people will be kind of like Phil and I and become more skeptical and say, well, why are we even saying that it has to be God at all? Why can't it be by purely materialistic, non-supernatural means? And that was actually something that, and I'm sure Phil, you could probably relate to this, that's, we just took out that last step of, well, no, God didn't do it. It was just, it was a all natural means as far as we can tell so far. So hopefully people can take that step in the future if they are like that.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, the quote the author uses to finish the article really stood out to me. God grant me knowledge. And it kind of came off as an oxymoron to me. Mm-hmm. But at least he had the decency to quote a Carl Sagan earlier in the article. So, Phil, you brought us in. Do you want to take us out with some final words?
Well, the thing is that, the thing is that we know that there are some persons who, yes, they have PhDs, doctorates, and whatever, but sometimes faith gets in the way and they attach to things that don't, it doesn't even equate, it doesn't even link with, you know, faith and science does not go really together, right? It does not go together, unlike what this guy was trying to say. So it's that magical thinking and actual hard-based science, no, would not work.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks. Appreciate that. I felt like we had a really good show today. We got to travel from Georgia to Louisiana to Cuba to out of this world. I had a great time with you two today. And August, one thing I wanted to get back to, if people wanted to learn more about what was happening, the plight of the kids at that school down in Louisiana, what was that website again?
Oh boy, you're going to get me riled up again. No, I'm joking. So it is called Day of Nope, dayofnope.com. And if you go to that website, like I said, they have some updates on the news and just separate links for you to check out. And possibly they'll publish the stories of the victims of that fateful day. But yeah, whew, I'm going to stop before I get on my soapbox again.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Phil, it was really a pleasure meeting you. I had such a great time working with you today. And you too, August. I really did. I'm so glad I was here with both of you today. So thank you both. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having
You're
us.
You're welcome. You did fantastic, Kelly. And you did really well.
Thank you. I've really been nervous through this whole thing. Yeah. Trust me.
You're fantastic.
You're fantastic.
Thank you so much. I wanted to remind all of our viewers, if you do want to hang out with more skeptics and atheists just like yourself, you should join our social media outlets. You can find most of the nonprofit hosts on the Atheist Community of Discord. You can definitely find me there. I'm there all the time. By going to tiny.cc/ACD Discord. And you can find us on Facebook at tiny.cc/FBNP. If you would like to support the show, you can do so by becoming a Patreon at tiny.cc/PatreonNP. And if you find yourself shopping at Amazon, as I sometimes do, support the ACA by shopping at smile.amazon.com and selecting the Atheist Community of Austin as the beneficiary. I kind of get off on taking some of Jeff Bezos's profits and sending it down to my friends in Austin. So, you know, if for no other reason, do it for that. And just use that link to help out the ACA. We really appreciate it.
And check out the merch.
Yeah, definitely check out the merch.
My,
yeah.
I have a shirt as well. So it's very nice. So go ahead and check that out as well.
And most importantly, we value your feedback. We want you to tell us what you liked and what you didn't like in the comments, or you can email us at nonprofits@atheist-community.org. And you should also visit the Atheist Community of Austin's official website at atheist-community.org for the latest of what's happening. And feel free to contact the ACA in general at tv@atheist-community.org. So again, I want to thank you both for being here today. You were both wonderful people. I've had such a good time hanging out with you and getting to know you. And I want to thank all the people who are watching and listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Watch Talk Heathen live Sundays at 1 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/ytth and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callth.